Happy almost New Year's, and it's not every year that we get to have church on New Year's Eve. It's actually kind of neat. You get to end your year with the Lord, worshiping together with your church family. And today we're going to just sort of run with that idea a little bit and talk about grand finale. How do you want to end? How do you want to end this year? How do you want to start next year? What is your grand finale? And I want to start with a story about this guy. It's a famous picture right there. Anybody know who that is? Winston Churchill. Very good. Very good. Yes. So Winston Churchill is famous beyond famous. Probably in his day, he was perhaps at least as well known as the Pope. I mean, just insane fame. But not because he was only successful, not because he did everything right. Winston Churchill was he was with us in the early part of last century, and he was born to an important daddy and an American mommy across the pond here. And when World War I came, he was a leader, and he did pretty good, but he resigned after some of his battle plans did not go well. 100,000 men died under his strategies in World War I. He resigned and eventually found his place in politics shortly after, but he continued leading for a little while in the war there, and he helped lead a lot of important things through World War I. So then he was in politics for a little while, but something happened, and he basically started talking about this little country, Germany, and warning people about what was going on there and how we need to prepare. But all of Britain was sick of war from World War I. And now this guy, this Churchill guy, who did some good, did some not good, he was okay in World War I, he's turning into what they called him a warmonger. So, well, you're just a war guy and that's what you want. We're tired of your warnings. And so they basically fired him. They basically said, we don't like you anymore, get lost. But he continued. And he continued warning, and he cared about his country, and he stayed on the mission that he was given, and eventually Germany rose to power and got worse and worse. The threat came stronger and stronger against his country until it got so bad it began to look hopeless, and the king called Winston Churchill in, and basically he became the prime minister after that, and at this time, it wasn't like, oh, okay, a war's going to start soon. At this time, it was like, we're in big stinking trouble, and we're not sure what's going to happen here, and we might not be a democracy next year, and they were intensely worried, and so Winston Churchill got his team together, got a strategy together, and he gets up for his first big speech. He was a good speaker, and the whole country is kind of like, Winston, you've been talking about this forever. Now it's here. What do we do? And he has one famous line that he's kind of known for. And he basically said, you know what? We're not going to roll over. This is just the beginning. Yeah, it's bad. But we are going to fight. We're going to go in the offensive. We're going to fight on the land. We're going to fight in the air. We're going to fight on the water. We're going to fight and fight and fight. We're not going to give up a single inch. We're going to do this all the way. And no matter what happens, we're never going to roll over. We're not going to give them anything. We will never give up. Never, never, never give up. And that was his line. And that's how he sort of became known to the country. And they heard his words and they gathered behind him. And through his leadership and many other heroes of war and great sacrifices, World War II was won against the invading armies. And Winston Churchill, that's where he sort of got his fame. And churches are named after Churchill, and cigars are named after Churchill, and bars are named after Churchill, and children are named after Churchill, because he rose up in that time. Even though he had some failures, even though people didn't like him, he always stuck to his mission. He was on mission to the end of the time. And finally, so they won the World War II. Oh, thank you, Winston. You're the best. You're awesome. And then he started talking about another problem, threat of communism, and the threat of what was coming next. And here comes the warmonger again. And now they don't like him. Until the threat got worse and worse and worse, and they called on Winston Churchill again. And that's sort of when he became, I guess you could say, legend in a sense. And they called upon him for the Cold War times. By that time, he was very, very old. And but they respected him. And people who don't even know his story recognize the name. And Winston Churchill stuck to his mission to the end. And now, it's like, people don't even know who he is, but it's like, oh, I live in a town that's named something something Churchill. It's forever there. And Winston goes down in history now. And there are stories about how he would receive letters from kids about how he's the greatest. I want to write a letter to the greatest man in the world. My daddy talks about you. And we're in another country, but I just wanted to write you a letter. Things like that. And Winston, though, the thing that made him great, the thing why we still respect him now, even when times were rough earlier and we didn't like him, the reason we still respect him now is that Winston stuck to his mission. He basically had one thing to do, and that was defend his country, and he stuck to it, whether it was wartime or peacetime. He never, never, never gave up, just like his line. And there were lots of other things that you could have been doing between the wars, okay? So World War I is over, right? And everybody's like, oh, thank goodness. You know, we were running out of food. You know, it was bad. We're running out of everything. So they're getting there, building schools again. They're building hospitals again. You know, they're building their houses back up again. They're starting to, like, go back and get real jobs again. But Winston is still talking about war. And he's still talking about the defense of his country. And how we need to knock it sloppy, right? And then they're like, oh, you know, we got other things to do. I'm not talking about just people, even military people, people who are still active military. They're like, yeah, that's great, but man, it's time for a break. But then when time came, they brought him back because he stuck to it. And when the Second World War was over again, they were like, okay, we need new army trucks now. We need new other stuff. We need all these other things. But he only stuck to his mission, and that was Winston Churchill. The church also has a mission, and we have a mission. And if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, we also have a mission. And sometimes we go through times of struggles and battles. Sometimes we go through peaceful times and times of joy. We just had Christmas, and I bet a lot of you probably had some good stories. I try to hear some of your great stories of enjoying time with your family. And it's usually about this time of year when pastors and churches start thinking about what's next year going to be like. You know, how are we going to end this year and how are we going to start next year? You know? And even as a family, if you have a family, it's like, what is our family going to be like next year? My kids are going to be a year older next year. What will they learn from me? Right? And so sort of want to take 1 week here, talk about our mission and if we want to work toward that grand finale. Someday we're going to go down in history too. And the Lord's going to open up his books. And our history is going to be read in front of everyone. And it'll either be like, oh man, you know, Xavier, I'm going to name a city after you in heaven. You know, either it's going to be like that or it's going to be like, oh, he did some stuff. Right? It's like, how are you going to be remembered in heaven? How are you going to show up to the Lord? And I want to have that grand finale. Jesus talks about that time. He's like, you know, I want it to be like this. I want it to be like, well done, my good and faithful servant. I want to be like, I'm always on mission. I didn't get sloppy. Because I think a tendency is for some of us, I think as a nation, we've gotten comfortable. And some of us as a church have gotten off mission. And the warmongers are in our ears. And it's easier to do something else. And so we're just going to take a moment to go back to the mission of our church and strive for that. Grand finale, and to never, never, never give up, and for that ending where we meet the Lord, and it was just like, oh, that's my man, that's my woman, you were my servant, and I loved you. So our mission, if you'd like to follow along, is laid out simply. Many of you know it by heart, it's in Matthew 28. So if you'd like to follow along, we're going to be in Matthew 28, and you can just leave it there this morning. Matthew chapter 28. And so Jesus has now given his life for the church, and he's risen from the grave, and he's sort of meeting up with the disciples. He's sort of getting some things in order, you know, where people doubted. He was sort of reassuring them, and he was taking care of his disciples, and he was appearing to other people. We know during this time that he appeared to his earthly brothers and his mother, and later now we have even a book from James, his half-brother, because James, who was not a follower of Jesus, met his crucified brother during this time, and he was converted and changed, and now his brother is a believer. And Jesus is just sort of doing all of his last things. He's getting ready to go now to the Father. And so he gives a commissioning. We call it the Great Commission. It is from the Lord. He gives it to his disciples, and he keeps it very simple. You know, they could have done so many things. In a sense, their war was over, right? They did the hard thing. They lost their leader. Like, the people hated him. They've been running for a while, but things have started to settle down now, and they could have taken it easy. And Jesus now gives them their marching orders. And they will soon see that Jesus had been setting up his church that we call it now. And this is what he wants his church to do. So I'm going to start in Matthew 28, verse 16. And it says this: Now the 11 disciples, so Judas went and hung himself, so there are 11 left. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. You know, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them, and he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Okay? I'm speaking in authority now. I'm speaking in the whole authority of who I am. And I want you to, here's what he says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And don't forget this one thing: I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." So Jesus gave now his disciples, and in that sense, the church, and now us, as we are now heirs of those people and the church they built, he's now given us one mission, and it is to go and make disciples. And I know it's cold, so I'm gonna rejuvenate you a little bit. I'm gonna do my best. So I'll ask you to tell back to me. Our mission is to go and what? Okay, that's pretty good. I'm gonna try again. Our mission is to go and make disciples. We have one mission, and there are lots of good things that we're gonna do along the way, but we really have one mission, and that's why we came together. That's why we have this here, and we've come together to make this little church, and we have some very intentional, initiatives that we do. We do some things every month. We do some things every year because we have one mission, and we always want to be making disciples. That involves Sunday morning. That involves when you go home and you're at home by yourself or you're with your friends. That involves small group. That involves servant evangelism. All these things we do. We could do a lot of great things, but our mission is to go and make disciples. So when Jesus said that, I just love how he's just, I mean, he's the great teacher, of course, but I love how he kept it simple because, man, I just need it to be simple sometimes. And so when Jesus laid it out, he says, "I want you to make disciples." But first he said this. He says, "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me." And then he says, "Therefore." He's like, so I'm now connecting my authority. He never did this the whole time he's on earth. But he says, now I'm saying I'm in charge and I want to give you one job. He says, therefore, go and make disciples. So I always try to read like some of the best commentaries, and they're expensive. So you have like all these cheap like commentaries. They're like, oh, they're okay. And they're like, we're blessed because we have some good ones too. So I read a couple of good ones and I read a couple of like, okay ones. And so I really appreciate the maturity of this one that I read, and this commentator said this. He said, "Too much and too little has been made about the fact that there's only one real command in that sentence, and that's the make disciples. There's also a go and a baptize and a teach, but those are not commands. Those are different parts of speech. That's kind of like what we're going to be doing along the way. The command, the only imperative verb there, is the make disciples, and it's one word where it's at. And he says, too much has been made of that because people have subordinated these other things so low that they think it's just about evangelism and that's all. It's not really about that. It is about that. Too little has been made about that because that is the mission. And if we do these other things, if we do all the other things in the Bible, but never do that one thing, then we missed out. We missed the mission. And so what we want to do is we want to say, you know, there's a lot of good intentions in the world and a lot of people who call on the Lord as their own, doing great things. But man, whatever we do, whatever I do not want to miss the main thing. I hope I do the other things along the way, but I do not want to miss the main thing. I want to take time and be intentional. I want to have some time with my kids. And this morning I was like thrilled. My 8-year-old son, I get up in the morning and he was already in the chair reading. We have the Action Bible. It's like the Bible Illustrated. You know, they have like, we got like the really old version, right? It's like pastels. It's like Precious Moments Bible or something. I don't know. It's like the really old version, right? Everyone's like angelic in that one. Then we got like the new version where they're all like, Samson is like ripping apart a lion and stuff. It's just, so it speaks his language a little bit. He's reading it and we had to yell at him to put it down just to get his shoes on to go this morning. I'm like thrilled that that is what he picked up. There are 1,000 things in our house and he's like reading that this morning. I'm like, oh, that's my boy. Hope some of the other kids pick it up too, right? but that's part of making disciples. Your family, your home, where you live, part of your main mission is even making disciples in your home. Part of your mission, I would say, is even making disciples of your own soul. Make sure you have your own time with the Lord. And our neighbors, we live in a community. You have friends. Your kids have friends. Your parents have friends. We all have these circles of influence. And everywhere, people are called and loved by the Lord. And Jesus wants us to make disciples, wants us to bring everyone that we can in to the Lord and not forget our mission. And so there are three things. So it's kind of like as you make disciples, one, we should be going. It's kind of like, I assume you're going to be going out and eventually you're going to take the message of Jesus Christ to the whole world, to other nations, to the guy next door, to the people in your family. It's assumed, it's not a command, it's assumed that we're just going to be taking the message with us everywhere we go. And a little bit later in the church history there, a persecution broke out where they were at, and everyone's like, okay, Jerusalem's getting nuts, we're going home. You know what? They took the message of Jesus Christ home to their friends and family in the other cities. That was the beginning of the spread of the church. Also, baptizing. Now, baptizing, I just sort of want to admit, there's not really much in the Bible about baptizing. But Jesus included it in the Great Commission. It's almost like a surprise. It's almost like, really? All the stuff you talked about, and you put baptizing in there? And we'll talk about that in a second, I think, why it's right there in the middle, too. But baptizing is basically like, okay, I'm going to bring you in now to the family of God. We've talked about it. You're ready to make a commitment. I want to help you with your commitment. Commit to the Lord. And then we do this thing called baptism. And then they go into the water. And it's two things. One, it's a symbol. They're coming up pure. They went down dirty. They went down with their sins. And now they're putting all their trust in Jesus and their faith in Jesus. And they're now coming up a new person, right? Jesus says, make sure you take this people through that. Take them through the thing. Helps them realize you're a new person now in your mind, and I love you, and you're on my team, and you're a Christian. I've got you, right? So it's like, go, bring the message, you know? Some are going to work out, some aren't, you know? And sometimes it's just simply you're talking with your buddy around the water cooler or whatever. Sometimes it's simple. It's kind of like popcorn in a bowl. Some are going to pop, and some aren't. And we're supposed to be responsible with the ones that do work out. So we want to baptize them. We want to just help them. Just really just be friends and bring them in the church. And then teaching. It's kind of like, oh, the job's not done. So many people get excited about maybe the evangelism part, but they skip out on the teaching. Or they get excited about the teaching part, but they never really go and do the just sharing the message, however it is. And everyone shares the message different. Some people just invite to church. Some people really just invite them to Christmas parties. Some people are, it's so simple. They just go out and they just love the snot out of people, right? And they're always right there and waiting. They're on mission, ready to give the message, ready to say, let me pray for you, whatever it is I can do to bring God into your life, because I'm always on mission. So he wants to make disciples, and I thought this was pretty cool. This is in the book of Matthew. You think, well, that's pretty important. It's probably in all four Gospels, right? No, it's not. And like we said at Christmas, if we all went home today and wrote about what happened, and if I wrote my letter to my dad and you wrote your letter to like your friend, they'd all be different letters. They'd all describe what happened today. I would include things that you might not, because I have a different audience than you, right? But I would also say some of the same things different, even if we included them in both of our letters. So Matthew, this is how he communicated what happened. Other people talk about the mission and the commission in other ways. For example, in Acts, they really stress the word evangelism, but they don't think about it just as the first part. They say evangelism is going out and getting them and growing them up too. There was a whole part of evangelism was almost like planting churches. It was like getting groups together, and that was what they did. And so I thought, here's how we say it. This is just another way to say it. We say our mission is meeting people where they are. Notice that's like us going to them. That's the go, right? Traveling with them to where Jesus Christ is leading. Bring them through the next steps together. You know, we're not out on street corners preaching, but we're also not against that. You know, we have done a little bit of door to door. That worked for some people for a little while, but that's not necessarily our thing. Really, it's just as we're going, we want to be making disciples. This is just how we say it. And I don't want to forget our mission. So I'm always trying to like hear the best teachers I can of these things. I'm like, I'm always trying to learn. And so one teacher did this. He says, you know, the mission, I think, especially in our culture today, might be a little bit clarified if we also talk about what the mission is not. And so here are four things that the mission is not. And I'll share a couple stories of how we have traveled through this. So the mission is not, number one, the mission is not comfort or expectations or convenience. And so where we're meeting at right here, this is actually a pretty nice spot, right? We kind of have our own space now. We were like renting, we were like using the school, and it was like you set up every day and then you tear it back down. Now we kind of have our own space in a sense. And that's a lot nicer. We got the wall painted over there. We got the chairs that match. We got the Christmas tree set up. It's actually pretty nice. But if I was like, okay guys, it's time to paint the room. And if we were like, okay, you know what? Here's a paintbrush. Everyone has a paintbrush. You just go out and get just whatever color you want. You just come back, you just paint whatever you want. And everybody's just going to give what they want. Tell me, what would we have? What would it be? We'd have a mess, right? And it's kind of like everybody would give what they want, but because nobody wants a mess, nobody would give what they want, right? And so sometimes we do try to make things nice and meet expectations, and we try to remove all the barriers that we can for people to come in and feel comfortable to, because this is sort of an uncomfortable thing to talk about heaven and hell and life and death. So we do try to remove barriers. But the mission is not making things comfortable or meeting all expectations or convenience. And a lot of times we say no to things, not because we're mean or we only going to do it this way or only going to do it that way. Mostly it's just because that's not the mission. And we need to put some things aside so that we can do the mission, so we can get back to making disciples and focusing on small groups or servant evangelism or anything like that. The mission is not I want my needs met. Now, you gotta be careful here. Everything that I'm gonna list here is gonna be good. It's like a good thing, but that's not the mission. That's not what Jesus has called us to. So one is needs met. We've had many people come through even this little church, through Quest of West Liberty and even our little church here. We've had lots of people come through and say, I just wanna be here for a while because I got hurt at some other place. And we're like, that's awesome. You are welcome here as long as you want. And they just have needs that just need met. And they just have healing they just got to do. Right? Don't you think for a minute about an army or a basketball team or something? Okay, if you're in the army and you get hurt, they have a medical hospital. They have doctors, and they will meet your needs. They will help you. If you're on a team and you're playing and you get hurt, we've got trainers, and we've got people that help. Just Lisa and I were talking yesterday in our family. We have like two or three physical therapists and one athletic trainer just in our family. And you know what? They have an important role. When someone gets hurt, we need to take care of it. But the idea is that those people get patched up and they get back out on the mission, right? You come into the medical hospital and we get you fixed up and you get healed. Your needs are met and you get back out there back on the mission, right? The mission wasn't just to have a hospital. The mission was to advance the whatever the Army's doing right now, right? And the mission of the basketball team wasn't just to heal everyone that got hurt playing basketball, you know? If the owner of the basketball team said, okay, here's the plan for next year. We've got three players, and we've got 20 doctors. It's going to be a good year. We're going to meet lots of needs. There's going to be lots of healing. You know, people are going to feel better. They're like, man, that's great. But you're the coach of a basketball team, and that's not your mission. Right? And we want you to have doctors. We want you to meet needs. But we want you to bring the team forward. We want you to teach our player. We want you to teach our boys and our girls just to be the best players, to be gentlemen, and to be ladies on and off the court. Then they should be highly skilled, right? They should know how the game works. They should know all the rules. They should even maybe be teaching the younger people how to play basketball too, right? We want you to stay on that mission and still do the other things, but we're not primarily about the needs met. And we're always willing. We have the prayer cards, right? Often we have informal prayers happening in here after church that I've seen. People just say, how's it going? And something happens and say, hey, let's pray right now. And I hope that if you have a need that needs to be met, that you never, ever hesitate. It's part of what we do. If we want to get you right with the Lord again or right with yourself or your family or whoever, and we want to get you back into fulfilling the mission of the church. The main mission is not a comfort. The main mission is not needs met. Another one is social concerns or social justice or all of the hundreds of agendas that are happening. So just to share with you a lesson that I learned. So I've never done this exact job before. Lots of things I did not know. Okay. And one thing is this. When you're a church in communities like this, I guess, everyone wants you to take their agenda to all the people in this room. So I get calls and I get emails and I got people that want me to take their thing to you. And so I, over and over and over, say, hey, that's great. I'm glad you're doing something good, you know? And they have something like, they might even call it a ministry, okay? We have a ministry that makes front door decorations for old ladies. Awesome. Great. Hey, could you invite everyone in your church to come over and help us make door decorations for this Christmas for all the old ladies in town? You know what? If you want us to put an announcement in the bulletin, we might do that, but I'm not going to invite everyone to come and do that. I'm not going to announce it from up front, right? And I'll support you. We might even send you money. I don't know if it's good. I wouldn't send money to that, right? We'll support you, but that's just not our mission. And here's what I've learned. Sometimes when I say no, they're surprised because they've gone to many churches who just say, yeah, we'll just do whatever. We'll make hospitals. Yeah, we'll meet needs. We'll make it convenient for you. Yeah, we'll do all these other things. I'm like, oh my gosh. All these people have said yes to you. What are they doing with their time? You know, where are the small groups at? Where's the prayer meetings at? They're doing all the other things. It's like, oh my goodness, we cannot neglect the mission. It's sort of like Winston Churchill, I feel like a warmonger. I'm like, Germany's growing. Germany's growing. I know you think I'm a jerk, but I promise it's the mission. And every week I throw letters in the trash just because I care about you guys. And Jesus gave me responsibility for you, and he gave you responsibility for your family and your friends, and we just need to stay on the mission and never, never, never give up. The mission is not to have the nicest, richest, biggest, most popular, most respected organization in town. And so, you know, I think some of our greatest helpers in this town have been old church ladies from other churches. And some of our greatest enemies have been old church ladies from other churches. It's just the way it's been. It's okay. It's just the world that we live in. But just because we're new, it's like we're a threat. I'm like, we're not a threat. We're on the same team. It's like, unless you think I'm the devil or unless you're the devil, we are not a threat. We're on the same team. So we're not here to be liked or loved. I hope you like and love us, right? And we're going to love you no matter what. But we might have to be unpopular sometimes because we're sticking to our mission. Just like Winston was not popular sometimes. Right? So that's just, I thought that's just hopes to make it clear. Like, because what's our mission? We're supposed to go and make disciples. Yeah. And sometimes we're not going to be making the door decorations because we're going to be making disciples. That's right. And, you know, we're not going to be all doing all this other stuff. We'll help people along the way as we're going. But mainly we want to be making disciples. And it's pretty cool. Think about it right now. We've got people on the other side of this wall. We've got people on their side of this wall, and they're making disciples. And our kids are hearing some Bible stories for the first time. And they're building crafts that helps them relate their world to God's message, right? And maybe you listened to something on the radio this week, and it was someone was making disciples on the radio. I listened to some of my favorite teachers on podcasts and stuff because they're on a mission. I listen to other things too, but that's not the mission. We always want to be making disciples. So we have, let me get to that in a second. So with that in mind, right, then I would think, how am I going to end this year? I know what my mission is. I mean, how am I going to end this year? How are you going to end this year? How are we going to start next year? Will you be on mission? Will you be doing other good things that may or may not be? You know. And so here are some possible grand finales that I just stole from the Bible. So three possible grand finales. And I apologize that the words are small. I just wanted to get enough of it up there. So here's one from Matthew 7. Jesus said, "You will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And he said, "And on that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and cast out demons? Didn't we do lots of religious stuff, Lord, that had your name on it?' But then I'll say to them, 'I just never knew you. Get away from me. I just never knew you. Get away from me.'" It's like you do lots. So number one, possible grand finale is you don't make it. Reject. Conversely, right? And Jesus had more to say about this. Conversely, one grand finale is like, "Come into my house. You are a good servant. And I've been so thrilled with you. And you knew me. And we spent a lot of time together. And it's going to be so good. Because you, I don't know about all the little stuff you did, but you were so close to me." So grand finale number one, either you know the Lord or not. And the way we get to heaven, the way we will have our happy ending is if our sins are forgiven through Jesus, not because we did a bunch of good things along the way, but because all of our faith is in Jesus. We repented and we just put it all on Jesus. "Lord, I'm just trusting you. This may or may not work out. They might fire me from being prime minister, but I'm just going to do it your way, Lord, no matter what. And I'm still going to love people, but I'm going to stick to what you say, Lord. It's all for you." So one possible grand finale. Number two, possible grand finale is just stolen from the Bible. Jesus said, "Now when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. And before him will be gathered all the nations, and he's going to separate people one from another like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right," here comes a great grand finale, by the way, "'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" Now, that would be fantastic. It would be like, okay, you are my Father's favorite kids. Like, he loves everyone, but he is so pleased with you. and he's been building this great inheritance, and it's just for you, and now the time has come where you're going to enter in. And it's like, I'm going to see my grandma, right? And you and I, we're probably going to play games at Charlie's house in heaven on New Year's Eve up there, right? I don't know, right? It's just gonna, I don't know what it's going to be like. It's just going to be great. And we might not even remember some of our hurts from right now, or we might give thanks to God that he helped us through them. I don't know, but it's going to be great, right? But also, some people are not going to get that one. They're going to get a different one. But here comes the thing. Here comes the thing. He says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." And they say, "Lord, when did that ever happen? I never saw you sick, and I came and brought you anything." And Jesus said, "Hey, for whatever you did to even the littlest of my brother, the littlest of the people that I care about, for whatever you did to them, that's like what you did to me. However you treated the people that you run into every day, that's how you treated me. And I'll know that you love me by how you treat them." Right? I'll know if you're on mission every day or if you just did some religious stuff like those other guys. I'll know if you're on mission every day and if you love me just by living it. By living it, right? Part of the repentance. I turn away from the bad and I just want to do the good. Grand finale number three. And this is in Revelation. He says, "And then I saw the dead, both great and small. I saw Winston Churchill. I saw the little kid. I never knew his name. I saw everyone standing before the throne. And the books were opened. And then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done." They're going to see their fruit. They're not going to see fruit. Right? And it's like, some are going to have this fantastic grand finale. It's like, I think it's like, if you have anyone in your life who was like a mentor, like a man of God or a woman of God, it's just like they were always on mission. It's like they just gave their life, and maybe they didn't end their life with lots of money, or they didn't end their life experiencing some of the cool stuff that you and I maybe have experienced because they were just so committed to the Lord. It was like they're so invested. And I think about this day when they're going to stand in front of the Lord and the throne, and they opened the books, and it was like, "Oh, man, you were so on it. You were so on it, my daughter who I love. Yes, I love." And you know what? Now everyone is going to see, we're going to talk about this forever, all the things you did for me. Possible grand finales. So Lisa and I were at a wedding last night, and it was cool. I love weddings. For me, my favorite part of weddings is kind of like when they say the vows. It's kind of like, up until then, it's kind of like they could still sort of escape if they wanted. You know what I mean? It's like they could still sort of change their mind. But then the groom said his vows, and he's like, I, Johnny, take you, Sally, to be my wife through the best of times and the worst of times, no matter what. And I vow to be with you forever. I'm giving you my promise, and here's a ring as a symbol of that promise. And then the bride's like, "I, Sally, I take you, Johnny, forever. I'm committed to you forever," right? And it's just like, yeah, that whole wedding and all that planning, right? And their friends have the fancy dresses and the fancy suits on. And they build all the way up to that. And they take the vows and they do the stuff up front. And then at the very end, the grand finale, it's sort of like if they forget this, it's almost like a letdown. They turn toward everyone and the preacher or the priest or whoever, they say, "I want to present to you for the first time, Mr. and Mrs. Johnson." And everyone's like, yeah. I was like, we've been waiting. It's like, I got dressed up. I didn't get dressed up for nothing, right? And it was this beautiful wedding. And they had their grand finale. And then we went on to the reception. And they talked to everyone. And we feasted. And it was great. And I think, how now can we end this year with a finale and start the next year? How will you be put on a path that ends in a good way like that, right? How are you going to end this year with your relationship with the Lord? How are you going to start next year with the Lord? Are you on a path that leads to a grand finale? So we have several things here that we do. I just want to advertise because we kind of have a good year planned next year. And so, for example, we just started the new prayer service on Wednesday night. I just want to invite anyone, if you want to make it one of your goals in 2018 to come to some of those, I think it'd be awesome. Wednesday evening, right here, it's in your bulletin. That'd be amazing. Not only would you come and maybe get your needs met, but you'd pray for other people too. Okay, we're going to start the small groups pretty soon for winter. So if you want to get involved, you know, and maybe it's like, I've never done small groups before because I can't meet on Sunday night, or you're weird, I don't want to go to your house, or whatever the reason is, you know, I would say, hey, just email the church or talk to Terry or me, and let's start a new one that works for you, and you can invite some people over your house, right, and make disciples together. That'd be great. Another one is in February. This is going to be between you and the Lord. We're going to have a fasting February. So for the month of February, we're going to promote a fast. You don't have to participate, but you can, and we're going to walk through it together, a fast as a church. We're going to put aside things that give us pleasure, good food, for a limited time, and we're going to give ourselves to the Lord and to prayer as a group and say, God, I'm putting you first, and no matter what, I'm never going to hear that you never knew me, Lord. I want to be so close. 2018 is going to be my closest year to the Lord ever. And I'm going to put a stake in the ground. I'm saying this year, I'm going to end it with this commitment. I'm going to start the next year with you, Lord, no matter what. I've got over $1,000 right here. All mixed up. Some have 5, some have 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. So from 5 to 50. And so, in January, we're not going to do a servant evangelism event where we get together and we go out and we do something. Instead, I really like the ones where everybody can do something. Like, remember, I don't know if you're here, but we had this one cool one time where we ordered pizza. Remember that? And they came in, they brought the pizza, but before they got here, I just like took up a collection, and whatever money we got, we just gave as the tip. And it was just like single mother, and I don't remember how much money we gave. It was like $150 tip or something. I don't remember what it was. And we said, hey, we just prayed that the right person was come and that we could give you something that would bless you. And she gave a little bit of her story, and we had a worship leader said, hey, is there something we can pray for you about? And it was like tears and all that stuff. It was awesome because we could all be involved, right? And so the plan here is this. Let's get some fruit in the books, right? Like when God opens up the book and he sees what's going on, let's be on mission. And let's take care of people. Let's make disciples. So on your way out, here's what I want to do. I mixed these up, or you can just pick one. Here's the homework assignment. You take an envelope, and whatever's in there, this is God's money, okay? And your goal is to go and bless someone somehow. They don't even have to know about it. You can drive to McDonald's and pay for the person behind you, and they'll never meet you, right? Or you could see a true need going on and say, hey, church gave me this homework, and I prayed who I should bless. I think it might be you, right? And one thing it does is it changes your thinking a little bit, because here it is. You have a time limit, the month of January, okay, to use this money for God, or stuff some left over, just give back to the church, or if you're at school or in another state or something, just give it to whatever church you're at, okay? but you have a time limit. And so I practiced on myself and on two other guys. I said, okay, we have a time limit. And this is what happened. It changed my thinking. I had to be on mission all the time. I'm like, Lord, I have to look. Where do you want? Because I don't go places where people have needs. You know, I'm not clothing Jesus every day. I'm not giving him a drink of water. He's not sick every day. So I've been on the lookout. So like the other day, it was 8 below in my car. 8 below, right? And I see this guy, his truck's broken down, and he's walking along the road. And I actually stop. I'm like, oh, that might be the guy I've been praying for. So I back up. I get it. Like, hey, you want to ride? He's like, yeah, right? He's like, I can't believe you passed me, you jerk. So gets in, and I drive him to his, like, mom's house. And it was so easy. It was like 5 minutes. And I'm like, oh, and I'm going to tell him I've been praying for him. I'm going to give him the money. And he's like telling me a story. And it's like, it was really cool for like 5 minutes. And he's out and he's gone. And I forgot to give him the money. I'm like, oh, I admit. But you know what? It changed my thinking. And I'm kind of ashamed to say, I don't know if I would have been, yeah, I would have picked him up if I hadn't had a homework assignment to change my thinking, to always be on mission and be thinking about what does God want me to do. So this is just a simple way to put everyone on mission for the month of January. So this is God's money. Use it however you think God is leading. However, you could buy someone lunch or pay someone's bill or just walk up and say, I've been praying. I think God wants me to give you $20 and just walk, whatever. So homework is just to pray and do, okay? And then if you have a great story, we'd love to hear it. Or share it with someone in your house or a friend. And who knows what that conversation may lead to, okay? But let's be doers. Let's be on mission all the time. And let this one little simple homework assignment change your thinking. All right? All right. Would you stand with me and we'll pray? Went kind of long today, talking about mission. I get the fun job of handing them out. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your son, Jesus. God, we can know you. We can have a grand finale and a happy ending where we don't have to come with fear before you, but we can have a happy ending where we expect to see our friend, our Lord, our King Jesus with joy someday because of all that you have done, Lord. Lord, we are so grateful for Christmas. We are grateful to have a Savior and for your Holy Spirit now to lead us this month as we are on mission. Lord God, I pray that you help us to never be distracted from living for you. Lord God, I pray you bless every single person in here with a sense of mission, especially this coming week, Lord. And while we do lots of other good things along the way, may we never ever forget to always be making disciples and loving people like you taught us. Lord God, I just ask your blessing on everyone in this church this morning. Thank you so much. In Jesus' holy name, amen.